We've been doing a lot of talking about the inward man and outward man, the model that we should see ourselves as a newborn Christian, that have an inner man that's been born again, a human spirit that's been reborn, and now I have a place to learn and feel and walk from. That's the real us. Well, I'm still wearing the outward man, and I'm comparing the model of the inward man and outward man from 2 Corinthians. Let's go to first 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So this is a model that Paul uses to describe your salvation. And there's a picture in here that helps us to understand where our battles come from and how we're to develop as a believer. And it's interesting, he says, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So that tells us that the renewing process takes place in the inner man. Now, most of the church uses the model from 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go there. And the goal in this series is help to compare a little bit between the two models, but also to help explain the model of the inner man and outward man where we can understand it. So the model from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." If you read that chapter, he's talking about the end of time, when everything is done, when we're on the new earth. The promise that Paul is making from God is that God himself will complete you, and you will be whole, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, the language we use when we use the motto of spirit, soul, body is, if I have a bad day, I say I was living out of my soul instead of my spirit. I prefer to use the other model, which says I was feeling fear in the outward man while feeling peace in the inner man, instead of I had fear in my soul but peace in my spirit. And so I'm aware it takes a little bit to retrain ourselves to understand this. The model of the spirit, soul, and body is really for us after we're done. When we're done, God himself will complete you. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day." So I want us to take your pen. If you got a pen, grab one and a piece of paper, and we'll draw out the model of the inner man and outward man. Do a little stick figure, a head and a body with arms and legs. And we're going to call that your inner man. Now, every child is born with an inner man and an outward man. They're meant to be conjoined twins, perfect partners in perfect unity. So the inner man is inside of the outward man. And so what you just drew by drawing a stick figure, we're going to call that your inner man. Now, draw on top of that another stick figure, right on top, exactly on top, and we're going to call that the outward man. So before you're saved, your inner man is born, created at the same time that your outward man is. They're perfect partners. They're inside, the inner man's inside of the outward man. Now, the model of the inner man, outward man, says the inner man has a mind, a place to hold truth. It has a heart, a place to hold emotions that are of the spirit, and it has desires to go do things. Now, before you're saved, you were in perfect darkness. The inner man and the outer man were in perfect unity. Then, when you were born again, God gave you a new nature and rebirthed that inner man, that inner body that has a mind, emotions, and desires. Now it's immature. It's like a newborn baby. It must be renewed in knowledge. You must fill it up with knowledge if you want to know things of the spiritual realm. Or I rephrase that to say, you want to fill it with God's knowledge so it can grow in the knowledge of God. Because when you're born again, you don't have it. You want to build the emotions of Christ in you, His level of love, His level of peace, His level of joy. You can do it in your inner man because your inner man has been born again, but the outward man was left in darkness. It was left in the condition that it was found. And that's why God's going to replace it. And when He replaces it and our feet are on the new earth, then that's when the promise of 1 Thessalonians, let me look that up again, chapter 5, now when it's all done, God's going to give you a new outward man with a new outward mind and emotions and desires that will be as righteous as your inner man. And He'll click you together and then you'll be whole. That's why He uses the word whole. Because right now, as a born-again believer, you're not whole. You have an outward man of darkness, flesh, we call it, and you have an inner man of righteousness. The outward man has desires. And that's why I don't like the idea that my body is like a glove that sits on me. If you're just talking about the body, the physical body, yes. But my outward body also has emotions and desires that don't just sit. They don't obey. They have to be made to submit. You have an outward man that hasn't been born again, that's born of Adam. And you have an inner man that's born of God. And so let's draw our model again. This time we're going to draw another stick figure. This is after you're saved. After you're born again, your inner man, draw your inner man, a little stick figure. It's been born again. So it is bright with light. Now, across from it, about an inch away, draw another man, exactly the same, but this is your outward man. It's been left in darkness. It's been declared dead, left in darkness. One day it's going to fall off of you, or when the trumpet sounds, you'll get a new outward body with an outward mind, motions, and desires. But your inner man is already born again. It can only develop and grow and mature. So draw your two stick figures here. I know I'm being detailed today, because when you see this, you'll discover Paul's writing, especially in Paul's writing, it'll open up to you. You'll begin to see that he taught from this model, his church. Most of his writings are in this model. So now, if you got an outward man and an inner man, take a minute, draw a line between the head, and then another line between the heart area, and then one line between the feet. So three lines. Now we're going to help you to see the picture God gave me, and the picture that I believe is in the Word. On the first line that connects the heads, you're going to write the word mind. That's telling us that you have a mind of the flesh, a carnal mind, and you have a mind of the spirit, a spiritual mind, a place to hold knowledge. Your spiritual mind only holds the knowledge of God. It is born of God, created in true righteousness and holiness, but it's immature. You must fill it up with the knowledge of God. If you don't fill it up, it remains empty. Now, another line I want you to draw between the heart of your two stick figures, and you're going to write emotions, okay? And you're going to see that you have a place in the outward man that has emotions, carnal emotions, chemical emotions from the flesh, the carnal man. But on the inward man, you have another place to hold emotions, the love of Christ, the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the kindness. These are emotions that are available to be developed in your inner man. And then at the feet, I want you to write the word desires, okay? You can put in brackets will, mind, emotions, and will. But I like desires better because will implies that you make a willful choice. So I like desires better because out of your outward man will be desires for things and direction. And out of your inner man's feet, it's going to want to walk towards the will of God. And so there you have a battle. In Galatians, Paul calls it the flesh against the spirit. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it the outward man and the inward man. And they fight against each other. They're not the same. One is of darkness, the other is of light. Your outward man is from Adam, a species called the human race that is of darkness, born in darkness. Your inner man is of the species of the children of God, born in righteousness. And you have to overcome. You have to overcome that outward man. Then at the very bottom, I want you to draw a big circle. And I want you to write the words you, okay? That's you. That's you are not an outward body. You have an outward body. You have a inner man. You are the part of you is the one that God has been trying to rescue. That you, we're going to teach about it later. And I've kind of interrupted this series, maybe because I don't want you to get too bored in all the details I've been given. But we've just finished talking a lot about the spiritual mind and proving that you have a place in your spiritual man that holds knowledge and understanding. You know, a lot of people will say, well, God spoke to my spirit. I heard it in my spirit. When I say, when you pray in tongues for an hour, what did God tell you? And you would say, well, I don't know what he told me. But what did it all, if you spent an hour with a teacher, the best teacher in the world, and he taught you for an hour straight, that knowledge had to go somewhere. Where is it? Well, I guess it's in my spirit. Oh, so you have a place in your spirit that holds knowledge. Yeah. Then we would call that a mind. That's what a mind does. It is an intellect. It holds knowledge and understanding. So I've just spent a number of classes going over the spiritual mind. Now, I'm interrupting the teaching to go today and describe more of the picture of transformation. But we're going to get into emotions. I'm going to prove to you that you have a place in your spiritual man that can hold, contain, and develop the emotions that Christ himself walked in. A level of love, a level of peace, a level of joy that can be established and built in your inner man, grown in your inner man, formed in your inner man. And you might say, well, that's impossible for me to be like Jesus. Well, not according to the word, it's not. And it is impossible in your own ability. Yes, the outward man can never be like Jesus because it's not the same family. It's a different species. How different is the outward man from the inward man? How different is a child of God supposed to be from the child of the world? As different as light is from darkness. Because the outward man is dark, but the inner man is light. So you say, well, it's impossible. It is impossible in your own ability, but it's not impossible with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you hit something impossible, that's a good sign. When you say, oh, I can't do it. I need help. Great. Now you're going to lean on the Holy Spirit instead of your own willpower to do it. So that's emotions and then desires at the feet. Now, you wrote a circle on the bottom for you. That is you. Now, here's the picture. Oh, wait, one more. If you go to your inner man, you can draw a little circle around the belly button, just a tiny little circle, and that's called your new nature. That's the place where you were born again. God was able to take that new nature, quicken it instantly. It went from darkness to light, and now you have a full, complete new nature of righteousness. And in that new nature is the picture, an image of Jesus in all of his maturity, all of his love and holiness. And as you pray, that picture will come forth, that image will build in you, Christ in you. So the you part is the one that is where you make your decisions from. That you part is where you make your choices from. That you part is who God's trying to rescue. And think about the miracle of salvation. The you, the part of you that's you. There's so many opinions about in the world about discovering who you are. But you, the part of you, that's going to live and exist for all of eternity. God legally found a way for you to be born out of one species of Adam and to be born into another species, a child of God without getting rid of you. Like, that's a miracle of miracles. It's like taking a cat and taking the personality of the cat, the person of the cat, and put it into a bird, and still keeping that personality alive. It's still there, not extinguished. It's a miracle. What salvation had to do was a miracle. He had to legally find a way to rebirth you, to born you into another species. While we're on this earth, we're still inside of the outward man, which is of the human race. But your inner man is of the children of God. And that's why for Christians, we start to believe and pursue a walk of holiness, a walk of true love, a higher standard, because we are born of a species of righteousness. So the you part is the part of your whole body that God's trying to rescue. That's the apple of his eye. He's trying to rescue you, to put you in a new species without getting rid of you. It's a miracle of miracles. And you've heard me say it before. It's like God found me in the species of a worm. And my name was Alan. And I was a worm. I lived in a worm. And that's who I was. I was a worm. I ate dirt. And then he said, I'm going to birth you into an eagle. And he made me an eagle without losing me in between. He didn't just say, what's your name? Alan the worm. Okay, one L or two L's, one L, A-L-A-N, great. And then take an eagle egg and give him my name. Say, I'm going to put Alan on the name of this egg. And so he transferred my name without me. No, the miracle is you've been born into another species, completely different, higher than the human species. And he saved you for all of eternity. It's a miracle of miracles. Here's the picture that I want to talk about today. Today I want to talk a bit about the transformation process. Okay? And I'm going to get into the emotional part, the desires, which is a definition of a soul, mind, emotions, and desires. You have a soul in your spiritual man that's been birthed of God, a mind, emotions, and desires. And it's connected to the soul of the outward man, mind, emotions, and desires of the flesh. One day when you get to heaven, the cord will be cut and you will be free from the outward man. You won't have any fear, jealousies, lust, pride when you're in heaven, insecurities. You won't have any of that because all of those are in the soul of the outward man. The soul in your inner man is only holy and righteousness. So the you part, that's the part that makes the choices. Now, the picture I saw was during a service one time, we were sitting there and the young lady was giving a testimony of how thankful she was. And she looked clean, she looked good, she was a beautiful young lady. And her testimony was sincere, but I knew this young lady. We dealt with her for years with drugs, where she'd have a good week and then a bad month. A good month and then a bad year. And she kept doing this cycle for many, many years. And while she was standing there looking very church dressed up nice and talking about how pleased she was that God didn't give up on her, the Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And in that moment, I saw a picture. I saw just what I drew here, a picture of the inner man and the outward man. And then I saw this kind of circle of light bounce out of the outward man and bounce over to the inward man. And that was the picture of transformation that God showed me. That transformation wasn't fixing my life to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, but was me, the you part, traveling out of the outward man over to the inward man. And let me explain that a little bit, because we're going to look at transformation today. The process, how it works. How does it work when I pray in tongues? How does that really change me? how am I really transformed? And we'll look over here in Romans 12 in verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now remember, renewing takes place in the inner man, not the outward man. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here is some words that have meaning. He says, don't be conformed to this world. So yeah, I'm not supposed to act like the world or let the world tell me how to be. But what many Christians do is they begin to look at the word and say, I'm going to be like the word. They conform their life. Oh, this is what a Christian is supposed to do. So I'm going to act like that. Well, that's conforming yourself to be like Christ. But he didn't say conform. He said be transformed. Transformed is a huge word in this scripture, because that is a process. That's not a choice. That's a process. Transformation comes from the Greek word metamorphoso or metamorphosis. And the closest we have to understand that in our world is when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And so that word transformation, the Lord told me, he said, the way that you interpret this word will be how you live your life for God. A lot of believers want to believe they're instantly transformed the moment they're saved, and then therefore I just have to accept who I am and identify with the spiritual man, and so I'm good. I just have to change my thinking to think like who I already am. But the word transformation shows a picture of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, he's not talking about this in your salvation. He's talking about this after your salvation. In other words, after you're saved, you must transform. Not being saved transforms you. After you're saved, you are to transform. And that is to go from one creature to another. In our language for the church, it would be to go from one species, the human species, to a new species, a different species, called the children of God. One species of darkness to transform into a species of light, a child of God. So when you're born again, I want you to kind of look at your stick figures here. And you'll see that there's many parts to you. God was able to put his hand around the you part of you and protect it while he reassembled everything around you. He first gave you a new inner man, a new nature, and a new inner man. And then eventually he'll give you a new outward man. And then you will be whole, of a whole creature of light. But you're not right now, because your outward man is not born again yet. In fact, your outward man doesn't get saved until it's glorified. The day it gets glorified, rebirthed, you'll have a new outward man of righteousness. And it will click in perfectly with your inner man of righteousness. So I hope you're with me. I'm not overly confusing you, but this is a series message. You need to listen to all the messages to get this picture. So when you're born again, I want you to take the you part and move it over underneath the outward man. Okay? And that is where you live from when you're born again. You have a new nature. You have an inner man that's like a newborn baby that needs to be developed in knowledge from God and develop the emotions of Christ. They're not automatic. They must be developed. Paul uses terminology, put off the old man, put on the new man. So the new man isn't on instantly. It must be put on. Peter uses the word add to that divine nature, add these things, add virtue, add knowledge, that you have to add things. It's not automatic. It's not complete. So your inner man is blank in knowledge and blank in emotions, but they can be developed. So when you're born again, you are really thinking, feeling, living out of the eyes of your outward man. So the you part when you're born again is really at the feet of the outward man. And because that's, you still see life through those eyes of your carnal man. You still have the emotions and feel of that. And then you think out of the knowledge of the outward man. Now the carnal church, which I call it, is a religion of Christianity, still gets you to heaven, but it has developed a path of walking to God, with God, experiencing God through that carnal man. They have spiritual experiences. God works through them like he did the Old Testament. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are through the carnal man. And that's most of the church world, unfortunately. So you are stuck there in the emotions, thoughts, desires of the outward man. Your inner man, as it grows and develops, eventually that you part begins to travel over from the outward man to the inner man. And that is a process of you developing the inner man. And then as the inner man develops in knowledge and emotions, then you get to travel over towards your inner man, where you begin to think, feel, and live by the intellect and emotions of the inner man. Righteous thoughts, righteous emotions, righteous desires. That is my picture of transformation. It is a process of traveling over to where the inner man grows, and then you begin to move over to where you start to, the inner man's knowledge grows enough that it challenges the knowledge of the outward man. We call it a revelation. I got a revelation of truth. I was praying in tongues and I got a revelation of truth. Well, see, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach your outward man. Your outward mind is left unfruitful. When you pray in tongues, the Spirit prays, but your understanding, your natural intellect is left alone. So God teaches your inner man knowledge, and it holds that knowledge and builds on that knowledge. And as that knowledge builds up, one day the inner man will knock on the door of the outward man and say, hey, that idea about God or prosperity, about life, is not true. It's wrong. And then you get to choose. See, you didn't change your thinking. You changed where you think from. We call that a revelation, that I got a revelation. When that revelation comes, it's not that God, the Holy Ghost, teaches you all of a sudden. No, no, he taught that to you years before, months before, when you were praying in tongues. But it built up enough to address the outward man. We call that a revelation, but a better word for it is mortification. That I took what was in my inner man and I compared it to the outward man. Then I, the you part, you chose to kill the carnal thought and say, that's not good enough. And see, that's you moving, traveling over towards the inner man. And one day there's a place where we will live seeing through the eyes of the inner man, loving through the heart of the inner man, and thinking through the heart of the outward man and through the inner man. Then the outward man's mind and emotions, they bow their knee to the inner man. They must be the servant to the inner man. When we read again, verse 2, chapter 12, Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this transformation, that's a process. That's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And this is what this means. Every Christian that's born again is like a caterpillar, because they still have to go through the process of transformation. Now what a caterpillar does is it has in it kind of the DNA where where one day it has a desire to go build a cocoon. And while it's in the cocoon, those modules kick in and it takes all the material of the caterpillar and turns it in the body into mush, or a lot of the body, and then rebuilds it into a butterfly. Then after the cocoon process, it breaks out of the cocoon and it has wings. But that same, the same you that was in the caterpillar is now the you in the butterfly. See, that's the transformation. That it's not a different little caterpillar person in the butterfly. It's the same one that he's been metamorphosized. He's been transformed. And that's the picture that Paul's laying down. Don't be conformed into the world, but also don't be conformed into Christ. There is a process of transformation that's available to you, but it doesn't happen by accident. You must walk that walk of transformation. And that transformation is where you go from living out of the carnal man, thinking out of the carnal man, making decisions out of the desires of the carnal man, that you find yourself eventually living, thinking, and feeling out of the inner man. But the inner man has to grow first. The inner man is supposed to confront the outward man. And really, this picture really slows you down in your calling, like hold your horses. So many people are pursuing, how do God use me? How do I walk in more anointing? How do I walk in more power? Well, the whole key to all those answers is transform. So how do I transform? Well, the picture here again is that a born-again believer is a caterpillar for their whole life unless they go through the transformation process. They will always be a caterpillar. And so what I see in the carnal church, and those who are spiritual hungry, but in the carnal church, is a bunch of caterpillars claiming they can fly, believing they can fly. You know, if you want to fly, then you just have to believe. You just have faith that you can fly. So we got little caterpillars climbing to the top of trees, launching off in faith and going splat. It didn't work. Well, you just didn't believe enough. You got to be bolder. You should have climbed higher, you know. And so I see a lot of church people that as caterpillars claiming to be butterflies, saying they're butterflies. The Word of God says, I can fly. I can fly. They have t-shirts that say with wings painted on it. And they have tattoos with wings that they tattoo themselves with, saying, I'm a child of God. I can fly. I can walk in power. I can raise the dead, cast out demons, and heal the sick. But I see them go splat over and over and over again. Because you cannot do those things until you transform. A caterpillar, listen to my language now, a caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A born-again Christian cannot choose to love like Christ. You can choose to love in the name of Christ, but you can't choose to love like Christ until you developed the love of Christ in you. See, a caterpillar can't just choose to be a butterfly. I'm a butterfly. That's who I'm supposed to be. Praise God. I'm of the Butterfly Church. Their churches are named Butterfly Church. Revival, Butterfly Church, you walk in and it's a bunch of caterpillars. We're going to fly one day. The promises will fly. We're butterflies, but they're just caterpillars. Until they build a cocoon around themselves and go through a transformation process, a metamorphosis, which really means that they are dissolved and rebuilt. Now, we in the human race, in Adam's family, were never designed to transform. It's not normal. This kind of language doesn't make sense. And it's why people have a hard time really seeing the concept of what I'm describing, because it doesn't make sense to the natural man You can watch their eyes twirl when I try to describe the inner man and outward man. It's like, I don't understand that. No, no. You know, but they're trying their best to fix their thinking. I just have to change my thinking. Well, when you realize that that caterpillar mind that you have can never think like a butterfly because it's not a butterfly and you don't have wings yet. A caterpillar cannot choose to fly. A Christian cannot choose to love. Boy, that's a title. A caterpillar must choose to build a cocoon and to transform inside of that cocoon. And then when it comes out, that caterpillar will be turned into a butterfly. It now has wings and it's flying is easy. We who are believing for a revival, it's not about praying for revival as much as you changing and transforming so that it'll be easy to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to see cities turned upside down in the name of God. It'll be an easy thing because we have transformed into that butterfly that can fly. How do you fly, butterfly? I don't know. I just think to fly and my wings fly and off I go. It's easy. The caterpillar goes, okay, how can I build some wings? How can I design? How can I make this happen? And the way to revival is through us transforming into those who walk in revival, because that is the language of the inner man, the child of God. The language of the outward man is not. That's why I say the carnal church's motto is, what can I do for God? Where the spiritual church is, its motto is, what can God do through me? And all that will happen as you go down this path and pursue this path of transformation. And there's so many people nowadays. It's a recycled doctrine. I experienced it 30 years ago, but it's making a great comeback now in this generation, which is, you're already complete in God. Just accept who you are, believe who you are, identify with who you are, and you just need to think differently. That's your problem. You just don't think. You don't think like who you are. So change your thinking. But this picture of transformation is not about changing your thinking. It's about changing where you're thinking from, building up the knowledge in that spiritual body, in the mind of the Spirit, renewing it with the knowledge of God. You used to have knowledge in that spiritual man, but it was made of darkness. And when it was reborn, that inner man was rebooted from darkness to light. Your new nature brought to life the inner body. And the inner body has a mind, emotions, and desires, but it's like a newborn baby. It must be rebuilt, renewed with knowledge that comes from God, knowledge of light. And that's why we pray in tongues and worship and read the word, because we're building that inner man up. So one day that inner man will begin to confront the outward man and you will see yourself starting to transform. And this is a process. I hope I'm being as clear as mud here. It's not a choice. You can't choose to just accept the word of God. You have to also transform into that word of God. Now, in the beginning, the word, we know the word of God is truth, especially when you find the truth and you understand in context what it's saying. So our first role is to accept that as truth, like a guideline. The Bible says, I can love like Jesus loved. The Bible says, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says these things. The Bible says, I am holy, I am righteous, that I am able to walk away from sin. So we start first with choosing, in the sense that I choose the Word of God as truth, so I am going to live like that the best of my ability. And all of us have done that. We've done our best to live by the Word of God, but we struggle along the way, and that struggle is the outward man. And so, but you choose to accept that. That is what I can be, and that's where I'm going to be. That's who I am. But now you must transform into that. You can't just choose to walk in love, not the love of Christ. The love of Christ must be put on. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It must be formed in you. And so where does our transformation take place? How do I transform, Pastor Allen? How do I go from where I am to being the person of God that God really says I should be? Because we've all seen people act holy, and we ourselves have acted holy, and then one day we didn't act holy. Well, that means you haven't transformed yet. That transformation is about mortifying the outward man and building up the inward man. And we'll talk more about that. A caterpillar cannot choose to fly. But what a caterpillar can do is choose to build a cocoon and transform. Well, that's my message to you today. That when you pray in tongues, that intellect of the spiritual man builds up in truth, and then it will confront the outward man for you. And when you choose to live out of the inner man's knowledge and kill the outward man's knowledge, that is a transformation. That's a piece of transformation that happened to you. And you didn't change the thinking of the outward mind, because the outward mind can't understand it. But you did make the outward mind bow its knee to the spiritual man. And you can't just choose it. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to be this kind of person. We've all said that for years. God, make me this kind of person. I'm going to be this kind of person. And then we keep cycling around and around and around because we're trying to conform into Christ, act like Christ, rather than to transform into Christ. So what's our cocoon? Well, our cocoon, I would say, is your prayer closet, your time of praying in tongues, your time of meditating the Word of God, your time of privately worshiping God. That is like you crawling into a cocoon, and while you're doing those things, and fasting isn't about developing your inner man as much as it is about denying the outward man. And so in this process, in this time between when you're looking out of the eyes of the outward man to when you're looking out of the eyes of the inner man, in that time zone, we deny the flesh. We rebuke the devil. We resist the desires of the flesh. We flee from youthful lust. And we do that because we accept that the Word of God tells me I am to be holy. I am to love like Jesus. I am to be pure. But I fight all these things. You choose not to do those things, you deny it. But there is a place that we're going to talk about called mortification, where you begin to kill the things in the outward man that are pulling you and driving you all the time. And we'll get into that soon. So my cocoon is when I spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, private worship, worshiping God without a crowd, just worshiping God on my own personal connection with Him, meditating the Word of God, and fasting. That's my cocoon. And in that cocoon time, I am transforming out of Alan into Christ. Out of Alan's thoughts, Alan's emotions, Alan's insecurities, Alan's fears, Alan's pride, Alan's ability. And I am transforming into Christ, Christ's love, Christ's joy, Christ's peace. Not that I'm ever going to be Jesus, like Jesus was Jesus. Of course not. But it's very clear that we are to walk in the same path of love and holiness that He walked in. And again, you say, well, that's impossible. Yes, little caterpillar, it is impossible for a caterpillar to fly. But it's not impossible for a caterpillar to transform. And if you will spend time in your cocoon, you will start to transform. And you will see the fruit of it. Where one day you'll think, why was it so hard for me to believe God for things? Why was it so hard for me to believe God for miracles? Look how easy it is. Look how easy it is. Well, because you are believing God as a caterpillar. The key to revival, the key to walking into all that God has for you is that place of transformation. That's a process. It takes time. But it works. You can change your whole life. You're not limited by your past. You're not limited by your brokenness. God truly made you a complete new person. You are completely righteous. You are a new person. He actually made you a new person. He doesn't want you to fix the old person. He wants you to mortify the old person. So that's part of this transformation. I've interrupted the picture in the series to break in with a little bit of what transformation is. We're going to end up going through all the details of emotions in the inner man, desires in the inner man, and more about you, the you part. It's powerful. Thanks again for taking time with me. I sure love you. Appreciate you. Great things are ahead. Don't give up. Let the Holy Spirit do His work in you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll see you soon. God bless you.